We're now going to turn to God's word, and Paula is going to come bring us our reading. Thank you, Paula.
Morning, everyone. Today's reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting from verse 6, which can be found on page 1164 of the Church Bibles. So it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting from verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you, because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, please do keep your Bibles open there, and let's pray as we come to God's word. Father God, we thank you that every part of the Bible is from you. It is you speaking to us. And we pray, Father, as we hear you speak today, give us ears and hearts which are ready to hear and to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're going to be thinking about some of what God has to say about financial giving. And I'm about to say in the next minute or so, I say every time I preach on this subject, which isn't very often, but it's important for newer folk and visitors to hear it, and for all of us, in fact. So if you're a Christian with us here today, let me just say very clearly, financial giving is part of our discipleship of Jesus. Now, following Jesus is so much more than financial giving, but it's neither an optional extra either. Now, some churches, they talk about money so much that it can feel like being a Christian is all about giving away your money, particularly to that church. Other churches talk about money so little, it can give the impression that it's an optional extra for the extra keen Christians. Now, I don't think either of those reflect what God has to say in Scripture. Our habit here at Cornerstone is for me to usually preach on this subject about once a year. Every 3 months or so, we update the church family about how church finances are. And in the notices, in the PowerPoints at the beginning, a notice or two will appear once a month, in a month, and one of those will be giving thanks for gifts as well. So we generally talk about financial giving very little from the front here at Cornerstone. Now, I'm not saying we've got the balance perfect, but our aim is to take financial giving seriously without it becoming a bigger deal than it should do in church life. And if you're here today as someone who is not yet a Christian, let me say you're most welcome. And let me say right up front, we don't want your money. Supporting the work of the church is the responsibility of Christians, and particularly Christians who are part of a church family here at Cornerstone. But please do continue to listen, because God may have a surprise or two in store for you when it comes to Christian generosity. Now, that's a repetitive bit over. I normally say that every time. Now we're going to get into 2 Corinthians in a moment. So as we dive into 2 Corinthians 9 today, this is part of a two-chapter section where the Apostle Paul is talking about generosity and giving. And Paul had promised a Jerusalem church that Gentiles, churches such as in Corinth, would help with a severe famine was going on in Jerusalem. And he was saying, you guys, I promise, listen, they're your brothers and sisters, can you help? And chapters 8 and chapters 9 is Paul writing to the Corinthian church to say, right, let's get this organized. What are some of the things we need to think about and pray about? Now, understandably, here in chapter 9, the focus here is on providing relief to the poor, to hunger and poverty. And that is part of what God calls his people to do. But we also know from elsewhere in the Bible that Christians also have financial responsibilities to support their local church and mission and God's work further afield as well. So as we're looking at giving today, we shall be thinking about the principles that God gives us here, but we won't just be applying them to giving to those who are in need and poor, but also to ministry more generally. Well, that's a long preamble over. Let's get into the text and our first point today. Financial giving produces great thanks. Now, Paul gives us some practical directions here, but we'll come back to those in a moment, but let's just go to verse 11 now for the moment. Chapter 9 and verse 11. So I am at that stage now where when I'm reading the Bible, I need to put the specs on. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. What's the result of this giving, of this generosity? Thanksgiving to the people who have given the money? It's not what it says, actually, is it? It's first and foremost, it's thanksgiving to God. And just in case we've missed it, please look with me at verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Not just giving thanks, but overflowing with thanks. Literally like a waterfall. Falling from a waterfall. You know what I mean? And it's as if the river can't contain the water and it's just overflowing into the river below. It just can't help itself. Well, when God's people give generously, many expressions of thanks are given to God. From people receiving the gifts. I mean, think of the poor in Jerusalem. The way God's provided for them. Perhaps from the people who are helping the gifts get to the right place. You know what I mean? That's what the Apostle Paul is. He's trying to help get the money from one place to another, and he's giving thanks for that. From people even doing the giving. From people who are just aware that this is taking place. Thank you, Jesus. Seriously, lots of Christians, we know we should be thankful people. And I don't know about you, but I often don't feel as thankful as I think I should be, or as I ought to be. Well, when Paul thinks about giving, it's a reason for great thankfulness. And therefore, perhaps one of the reasons I'm not as thankful as I should be is because I'm not thinking about giving enough. Either not just necessarily what I give, but what other people give, and being thankful for that. But thankfulness to God isn't just about the actual cash. It's also the actual help as well. Please look with me at verse 13. Sorry, I managed to flick my Bible over, so I've just got to find the page number again. Verse 13. Because of the service which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Thankfulness to the Lord is because it is God who has produced the obedience and the generosity. I mean, when people come to know Jesus, when people become Christians and they confess their sins and they're relying on Jesus' death and resurrection to make them right with their Heavenly Father, yes, it is first and foremost a reality of the heart, of the mind. It's between yourself and Jesus. But such a reality will always impact our lives, and in many ways, and for these Christians in Corinth, it had impacted their obedience and their generosity. And Paul's over the moon about it. Great thanks to the Lord, great praise to the Lord, because it is God who makes that possible. I mean, I'm a Yorkshireman. I'm naturally very, very tight. And today, people, we give for so many different reasons, don't we? It can be out of compassion. It can be because, let's be honest, sometimes you get emotionally manipulated. It could be because of social pressure. It might just be because you want to feel good about yourself. Often it's from guilt, isn't it? For Jesus' people, we want to see Jesus glorified. And that glory is made possible in so many different ways. But one of those ways is financial giving. Financial giving produces great thanks. But we have to do it. We have to think about it. We have to pray about it. Whilst preparing this sermon this week, the Lord brought to mind churches who have supported and do support us here at Cornerstone. There's other Christians who are sat at St. John's Walthamstow this morning, or St. Peter's Harold Wood, or folks who were part of Christ Church Wyre Forest, or folks at Emmanuel Church Brentwood. Thank you, Jesus, for working through them to support the work here. Or for gifts that randomly come in over the years. I mean, we have people supporting us from the other end of this country. Yeah, I mean, a few years ago, we even had money come from Singapore, from people I didn't even know. None of us knew. Thank you, Jesus, for working through them. And what about you, our church family? I mean, giving to gospel initiatives far away can seem more exciting. It can seem more exotic, can't it? Regular church giving can sometimes feel very mundane. More expensive even, because often the lion's share of our giving goes to our local church. And that's when you really do notice that you're not having that nice thing over there or having that holiday, because you're giving more than just a token amount to the Lord's work here week by week or month by month. It is Jesus who shapes our hearts and our attitudes. It is Jesus who grows our generosity, even at the times when we don't feel generous. It is his work, and therefore we give him great thanks. Actually, shall we just pause for a moment now and do that? Not a bad thing to pause in the middle of the sermon and to praise it. So let's do that. Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we lift your name high for the way you work in and through your people to be generous, for the way you have worked like that in our midst here. Father God, we thank you that the call you call us to be generous isn't some random thing, but it flows from who you actually are. You generously give us so much to the point of giving us your only son. We thank you in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. And yes, the Apostle Paul does take us to Jesus, doesn't he, in these verses. Verse 14, please look with me there. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given them. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Paul here starts out by talking about financial gifts, but such gifts are just a shadow of the gift that God gives us in Jesus. The indescribable gift that is Christ. Now, when you look over a beautiful view, perhaps it's the rolling countryside. It might be a mountainous vista. It might even be Tilbury Docks. You never know. Some of you might love that. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, as they say. But seriously, when you have those moments and your breath is taken away, words such as beautiful, awesome, mind-blowing, they just seem inadequate, don't they? How much more so the indescribable gift of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And now we've got that setting, because that's actually, most of our verses talk about that Thanksgiving today. We're going to go back and look at some of the more practical things. So our second point today, giving comes from God's resources. Please look with me at verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now this is a verse in the Bible which is used and abused time and time again by so-called preachers, perhaps most famously of all by American TV evangelists, but to be honest, it happens all over the world here, including in the UK as well. And the idea is this. This is where it gets abused. If you sow generously to the church, the more you give to the church, the more God will give back to you. And if we just had verse 6, and that was all we had on this subject, it might be a fair understanding. But Paul doesn't leave verse 6 unexplained. Please look with me at verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God says that all that you need. I'm sure we've all heard someone say something along these lines. Oh, I need that new handbag. Oh, I need that new mobile. Or I need to visit that holiday destination. No, you don't. You don't need any of those things or a whole raft of other things either. God gives us what we need. And actually, the focus here isn't on stuff and experiences, because he talks about abounding in every good work there, doesn't he? But also verse 8. Verse 8 talks about abounding in every good work. God blesses his people abundantly to serve others. And what is the harvest in verse 10? It isn't full bank accounts. It's a harvest of righteousness. And therefore, so-called churches that preach a message of give to God and he will bless you with health and wealth, they're twisting scripture, they're preaching a false gospel, and they should be avoided. Now, yes, God does bless his people, of course he does. But that blessing comes in so many different forms. And here, actually, the focus here is in good works, on righteousness. And do you notice who gives the seed to the sower? Verse 10 again. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Who gives seed to the sower? It's God, isn't it? I mean, brothers and sisters, when we give to others, when we give to the church, we're not giving out of our resources. We're giving from what God has already given us. And this is really important. Because the problem for many of us is when it comes to giving, for most people, they work hard for that pay packet. It's hard work. And therefore, it can feel like my money, our money. It looks like you've earned it. And in some sense, you have earned it. Yes, ultimately, it comes from God, we're told here. He gives us the life. He gives us the skills, the energy, the opportunities. I mean, Jesus is keeping us alive this very moment. Do you think you could go out to work and earn that stuff without Jesus? No. The resources are God's resources. And I know for me, this is a constant challenge to change my mindset in this area. Not mine, but his. Now, yes, God knows and wants us to use some of the resources that he gives us on housing and food and the necessities of life. Even some of the fun things in life. But God has also provided them so that we can be generous. Be generous with what he has given us. And we need to ask God to change our thinking in this area. And if we do, if we think more of actually the stuff that's in our bank accounts and the things that we earn or the pensions or whatever it happens to be, that this has come from God and not ourselves, that will help us loosen our grip on it. I'm sure it help loosen the grip for me. It's not ours. It's been given to us by God. And then next, giving comes from the heart. And verse 7. Please look at me at verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So often, we can end up in a place where Christian giving comes from a place where I don't really want to, but I know I should. Like a child who is told to share their sweets by their parents, and the child holds out the bag of sweets to the other people, but you can tell just by looking at the child's face and actually the whole child's person and their body posture that they don't want to share, but they're doing it anyway. And you see, God isn't a parent like that. Yes, God, he wants to see his people give. I mean, you know what I mean? We've already seen he talks about obedience. But he isn't forcing the issue. If you're feeling compelled or reluctant to give, I'm not sure God wants us to give. Now, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't think that gets us off the hook, because a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ will want their heart to be changed so they can be obedient to Jesus. You know what I mean? It's definitely not my place to try and force anyone to give. I hope no one has ever felt like that in this church. It is my place to teach what the Bible has to say about giving from time to time, and that's what I'm doing this morning. But ultimately, our giving and the amount we give is between ourselves and God. And did you see in verse 7 that giving is a decision? It talks there about a decision. Each of you should give what you have decided. Something that you've carefully thought about, prayed about. Asking God to mould your heart and mind. God to mould my heart and mind to give cheerfully. Finding more joy and thankfulness in supporting gospel ministry and those in great need. Finding more joy in that than buying that new shiny thing that I want. Now, it's not wrong for Christians to have new things that you like. But something has gone wonky, isn't it? If a Christian's standard of living is exactly the same as those around them who are on a similar income, we should be more generous. Giving comes from the heart. And when that happens, it will be accompanied with thankfulness as well. Now, let me just mention a couple of practical things before we wrap up. And first of all, tithing. And some Christians say that the Bible teaches that God's people should give 10% of their income to the church. Now, I'm not convinced that this is taught in the New Testament at all. And in the Old Testament, it's actually, tithing is only part of what God's people give to God. It's not the whole thing by any stretch of the imagination. And therefore, I'm personally not convinced that the Bible teaches that God's people should give 10%. Now, some biblical Christians are convinced of that. I myself am not so sure. Now, 10% might be a helpful guide, but it's not a definitive figure, I don't think. Because what have we seen today? God is more interested in our hearts and our generosity, not the exact percentage. And for some Christians, perhaps, some of our folk are off to university in a few months' time, God willing. And, you know what I mean, lots of people have to get debt to live at university. I'm not sure students should be giving out of money they've had to borrow to live off while they're at university. I mean, for other Christians, it might be a choice between giving to the church or to someone else and feeding your own children, feeding yourself. Please feed your children first. Feed yourself. Let's be straight here. If your income is so tight that feeding your family is a struggle, please do not give to Cornerstone Church. Instead, have a quiet word, and if we can, we'd love to be able to help you. But if it's a choice, though, between Sky TV or giving generously, I think the answer is obvious. Actually, I've heard one preacher put it this way, and this is someone in the States, but actually the idea of the 10% thing, he said like this: tithing is a middle-class way of ripping off God. Actually, for some people, 10% is actually too little. So whether we're giving nothing or 2%, 10%, 15%, or whatever it happens to be, God says give according to your means. Look to be generous. Look to be sacrificial. Now, I don't know what people give here at Cornerstone. I don't know who gives on how much. But I can guess that many of you do. And thank you for doing so. And if you know and love the Lord and are part of Cornerstone Church, please do prayerfully consider your giving every so often. You know what I mean? Review it. Don't just assume and sort of think, actually, perhaps once a year or something like that. Jesus, is what I'm giving right at the moment? You know what I mean? For some of us, it might mean we want to increase our giving. For some people, it might mean keeping it the same. For others, it might mean decreasing it. You know what I mean? Circumstances, as well as our income level, understandably impact what we can give. But God understands that. And as a church, we aim to live within our means. You know what I mean? We're not constantly asking everybody, oh, could you just give a little bit more? I don't think I've ever said that here. We are so thankful to the Lord for his provision over the years. But there is a need to grow our income here at Cornerstone. There is a need. You know what I mean? As we look to get more proactive at reaching out with the gospel and serving our local community, that might mean, that might cost something. I mean, we're part of the Anglican Mission in England, and we aren't able to support them as much as we would like. And that's just to mention a couple. There are others as well. So as I preach this morning, there isn't a desperate need that, oh, we need to raise extra money, which is fantastic, and I'm thankful to the Lord for that. But there is a need. So do be praying that God will be growing his church and our giving in the coming months and years. Well, our time is nearly gone. If you'd like to chat more about this, do please speak to one of the elders or to Paula Newman, our treasurer. There's also a booklet on the table, a giving booklet, which has a number of details as well. But as we close, let's focus on the big thing that God focuses on in this passage, and that is thankfulness. Thankfulness that arises when God's people are generous. Thankfulness to what the Lord has given to us in Jesus. Verse 15, one last time. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you speak into every part of our life, and that includes our wallets and bank accounts. And we pray, Father, that you'll help us to continue growing in generosity. Thank you for the way you've been at work in us in that, in so many ways over the years, Father. But we ask, Lord, that you'll continue to be moulding our hearts so we can give generously and so we can give cheerfully, giving great thanks to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.